Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Spiritual Gifts, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
To another faith. Now we are told to every man is given a measure of faith. That faith by which I believed in Jesus Christ was a gift of God. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. The faith to believe in Jesus Christ was given to me by God. When Peter was going with John into the temple, and the man was seeking alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll be glad to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand to your feet and walk." And he took the man, lifted him to his feet. That was an act of faith on Peter's part, lifting a lame man to his feet. And immediately he received strength, and he began to run and leap and praise God. And then as he made his circuit through the temple, people said, "Isn't that the lame man who's been out there for so many years?" "Yeah, it sure looks like him. What's he doing running?" "I don't know. Let's find out." And so as he came back out to Solomon's porch where Peter was still standing, he took hold of Peter, began to hug him. And all of the people began to relate the miracle to Peter. And so Peter said, "Hey, you men of Israel," about 5,000 had gathered, "why marvel ye at this, or why look upon me or upon us as though we through our own righteousness have done this good deed to this lame man? Be it made known unto you that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stand before you whole. He is the stone that was set of naught by your builders, but he has become the chief cornerstone. And it is through the faith of him that this man has his perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Peter didn't say, "Hey, it's my faith, my great faith. I fasted and prayed for years and God finally gave this to me, you know." But he said, "It is through the faith of him, the gift of faith, the faith of him that this man has this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So Peter recognized that this wasn't just some faith that I have. I can go around and lift every lame man to his feet. But the Lord gave him faith in that particular instance. And he had that gift of faith for that instance. And he lifted the man to the feet by faith and God healed him. And so the gift of faith, and that's a special faith in a special situation. It isn't that you have faith in every situation. Men of faith oftentimes have great times of failure. Abraham, the father of those who believe. God said, "I'm going to give you a son, Abraham." God kept saying, "I'm going to give you a son, Abraham." The older he got, Sarah went through menopause. God said, "I'm going to give you a son, Abraham." Sarah said, "Abraham, let's quit fooling ourselves. God needs help. It's obvious. He wants to give you a son. So you take my handmaiden Hagar, going unto her. And then when the child is born, I'll be the midwife and I'll take the child from her womb and it'll be like my child and it'll be your son. And we'll help God out because at this point, you know, we've got to be practical." So Ishmael was born. And one day when Ishmael was about 13 years old playing outside, Abraham said, I mean, the Lord said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and give you a son. Abraham says, "Let Ishmael live before you forever, Lord." "No, that's all right, Lord. There he is. I accept it." And the Lord said, "No, through Sarah shall your seed be called." So here's a man of faith, but he had a lapse of faith. It wasn't faith in every situation. He said, "Hey, Sarah, you're so beautiful. You know, they'll kill me to take you away from me. So when we get down there, you just say, you're my sister. Don't tell them you're my wife." The man of faith, pawning off his wife as his sister. You see, sometimes we're discouraged because the faith isn't always there. Men of faith often have lapses of faith. Elijah, right after his contest with the prophets of Baal, when he said, hey, you build your altar, I'll build my altar, we'll pray to God, and the God who answers by fire, let him be the God. They said, fair enough. They built their altar, they prayed all morning, nothing happened, and Elijah came to him and said, hey guys, I'll bet your God's asleep. You ever thought of that? You probably have to cry louder to wake him up. Or it could be he's off on a vacation. That'd be a shame. Or it could be he's gone to the restroom and relieving himself. So that's what he said. He's a crude guy. And so these guys began to jump up and down and slash themselves with knives and throw themselves on the altar and all. Still nothing happened. So then Elijah said, all right, now bring some water, pour it on my sacrifice there. They brought the water, pour on more. Finally, the whole thing was just sopped. They dug a trench around full of water. He said, okay, God, now show these guys. And the fire came, consumed the sacrifice, burned up the rocks upon which the altar was built, licked up all the water. Great man of faith. While he had the roll going, he took the 400 prophets of Baal down to the stream, the brook Kidron, killed them all. And then that wicked queen Jezebel came back and she heard what Elijah did. And she said, God help me if I don't have that guy's head by tomorrow afternoon. And Elijah heard, Jezebel's after you. And he took off running. This great man of faith ran over 100 miles down to the Sinai where he hid in a cave. Great man of faith hiding in a cave. From Jezebel. You see, man of faith can have lapses of faith. And if you have the gift of faith, it doesn't mean it's going to operate all the time. Hey, I've got finally the little genie here, you know, and anytime I want to rub it, you know, Shazam, Alakazam, here it is, you know. But God gives to you in certain situations special faith, and it's glorious when God gives you the faith that he's going to work. And you just have that confidence and that faith and that trust and rest in God. Beautiful experience. Doesn't happen in every case, but it's glorious when it does happen. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit operates much as the gift of faith. To another, the working of miracles. Again, not in every situation, but a lot of miracles happening. To another, prophecy, which is really speaking forth the truth of God through the anointing of the Spirit. To another, the discerning of spirits. For there are many spirits that have gone out into the world, and not all are of God. To another, the various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And we'll save our commentary on this until we get into chapter 14. But all of these are working that the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So these gifts of the Spirit are something that are wrapped up in the sovereignty of the Spirit of God. I cannot demand that a particular gift be operating in my life. The Spirit is sovereign in the dispensing of these gifts. Now, as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we are the body of Christ. Now in your body, you have many different parts to your body. You have your fingers, you have your hands, you have your arms, you have your wrist, you have your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your legs, your feet, your toes. Various parts of your body, many parts of your body, but yet you're one body. Now, if you drop a lead pipe on your toe, where do you hurt? You hurt all over. One member is suffering, the whole body suffers. It's hard to divide the areas of pain when I'm hurting. Now, the body of Christ, here we are, many members, but we're not the whole body of Christ. The many members of the body of Christ include the Presbyterian Church down the street, the Lutheran Church over in Mesa Verde, the Baptist Church down on Baker. We are all members of the body of Christ. We're all then a part of each other, a part of that one body. And God help us to come to this awareness and realization There are always those who seek to want to divide the body of Christ. The recognition of themselves to the exclusion of other parts. Or there are always those who think that they are the most important part of the body of Christ. But every part is necessary for the other. And if the whole body were just an ear, then where would be the seeing? And if the whole body were just an eye, then how could you hear? So God has brought the body of Christ of many members, brought them together. We are all one body. And in recognition of this, if one member of the body is suffering, then we should all be feeling it. If one member of the body is being exalted, then we should all rejoice in the exaltation of that part of the body. And so Paul teaches this beautiful lesson of the oneness of the body of Jesus Christ, an important lesson that I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, will help us to all grasp and to put into practice in our own mental concepts, in our own thinking processes, that we will not be guilty of just thinking of ourselves exclusively or looking for our own benefits exclusively. Or just one segment of the body of Christ to the exclusion of others. We have not yet heard on Channel 30 whether or not the interim license will be given to us. We're supposed to hear any day, but it's a government agency, and there's not always the most, they're not always the most dependable. They were supposed to have issued that by the 4th by their previous declarations, but they are no doubt deliberating it, and whatever decision they come up with, we will surely abide with. But we do intend, if they grant to us that permit for Channel 30, I intend to immediately call Chuck Swindoll, James Dobson, Dave over in Santa Ana at the Calvary Church, Hawkins, John MacArthur, and get these fellows together and say, look, here's what God has laid in our lap. Let's pray together and seek the Lord on how to best use this facility for His glory. And get many different representatives from the body of Christ, giving them exposure, giving their ministries exposure on television, rather than just representing one small spectrum of the Christian body on television. I'd like to see all of the spectrums of the Christian body represented. The true body of Christ, those who own to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so John and I disagree in some areas, but we are still brothers in Christ Jesus and one in Him. And that oneness that we share in Christ is far greater than any disagreement that we might have concerning the issues that we're talking about tonight. So we need to have that awareness that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a section for Methodists and another one for Presbyterians, another for Baptists. But in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Baptist or Methodist, Presbyterian or Nazarene, or Church of God or Church of Christ, but they are all one in Him. Beautiful lessons here that Paul teaches concerning the oneness of the body. So by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we are Jews or Gentiles, Baptists or Presbyterians, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Imagine if the body was just, what a weird world this would be, wouldn't it? If your body had just one member and each of us, you know, were just a different part. Look at that big toe going down the street. That weird looking one. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, if any part of your body had a right to complain, it'd probably be your foot. Lives in the dark most of the time. Stuffy and smelly environment. Yeah, never complain. Well, it does complain sometime, I guess, at night if you work too hard. But I mean, it's just there, it just functions. It's just part of your whole body. It doesn't seek to exalt itself and move up and become a pendant to your knee or something. You're going to get out of this dirty, smelly place, you know. Want to be something different. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? There are those that say, hey, you know, we're this, we're that, and we're not part of the whole body, or they don't see it. If the whole body were an eye, be weird. Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Again, as it has pleased him. An important phrase in the New Testament. Follow it through in your concordance. As it has pleased him. God gives us a body as pleases him, our new bodies. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be sort of insignificant, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts, the more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And so God, creating the body of Christ, and those parts that we sometimes look down upon, sort of look down our nose, well, you know, they are. And yet God has chosen to bless and exalt them, to bestow upon them honor, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are all important. You all have a vital part to play in the body, a vital part to fill in the body, a ministry that the body might be whole and complete. And if you don't fill your part, then the body is missing in that area. So each of you have been placed in the body of Christ to fulfill your area of ministry there within the body. And God hath set some in the church. First of all, the apostles. Secondly, the prophets. Thirdly, the teachers. And after that, the miracles and the gifts of healing and the helps and the governments and the diversities of tongues. Rhetorical questions, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Therefore, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than having these gifts of miracles or healings or whatever operating in your life. God has something even better for you. So, for these last few verses, this morning's sermon is an exposition of this latter portion. And so I would refer you to this morning's sermon for the exposition of this portion from verse 28 on. And next we'll move into that 13th chapter of Corinthians, which has to be one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible, as Paul defines for us this interesting, intriguing Greek word agape, or agapo, and we get the definition for this kind of love that originates with God and that he wants to flow through our lives. And then in chapter 14, the proper use of the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So, interesting study next Sunday night. Never think I'm unimportant. It doesn't really matter if I am there or not. It does. God has placed you in the body, and God has chosen to place the greater honor on some of the more insignificant or parts that aren't as obvious or as noticed as others. In a sense, I guess God has made me a mouth. But if the whole body were a mouth, what a mess it would be. So we each take our place within the body, opening our hearts to God that the Holy Spirit might cause us to function in a well-coordinated way, that God then might use us for His glory. One of the problems with the church is that so often we find the church body spastic, because each part of the body is wanting to do its own thing. And we're not really sensitive and yielded to the Holy Spirit, who is the one who coordinates the movement of the body. And so the church has not had as strong a testimony before the world as it should, because of the body fighting against itself. Now, what if your body did that? What if your hand had a different idea than your arm of what it wanted to do? Or your legs, each of them had separate desires of where they wanted to go. And you get a picture of what the body of Christ looks like before the world many times, as, you know, everyone wants to do their own thing and not surrender to the Holy Spirit. How we need to be yielded to the Spirit that He might coordinate the activities of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And thus may you be sensitive to the Spirit, open to the Spirit, used by the Spirit, in Jesus' name.
What is the world coming to? The answer is found in the book of Revelation, a prophetic account of the final days of man on earth and the remarkable events that follow. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he takes you verse by verse through this powerful book of the Bible, offering clear, simple insight into God's plan for the end times. In a world that often feels uncertain, Revelation reminds us that God is in control and that He has prepared a future of hope for those who believe in Him. Don't be afraid of what's to come. Be ready. You can order your copy of Pastor Chuck's book on the book of Revelation today and study along as you discover what Scripture says about the rapture, the return of Christ, and the promise of eternal life with the Lord. For more information or to order your copy, visit twft.com or call 800-272-9673. The Word for Today, helping you understand God's Word for tomorrow.
May the Lord be with you and watch over you through the week. And may you experience the hand of God upon your life. And may you recognize the work of God in your life, not just in the blessed things, in the good things, but even in the adverse things. For may you realize that truly all things are working together for good to those who love God. And thus, as we walk according to His purpose, help us that we might accept, as from God, those adverse secondary causes that are bringing to pass God's primary will within our lives. And may we see beyond the obvious. May we see those things which are not seen by the normal person. God's hand working in and behind the scenes of our lives to bring forth His will, His plan. God bless you and watch over you and keep you in Jesus' love.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 12. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.